good morning, and welcome to A Chat in the Garden, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, and I'm glad to be with you on another Wednesday, our last Wednesday of March of 2022. And we got some business that has some deadlines to it, and I want to make sure I tell it to you up front. Because the opportunity, if you're an athletic director at a NAIA institution, the deadline to assist with your bottom line in the area of recruiting is tomorrow. That is, the men's basketball coach could receive a $500 travel voucher if you're an NAIA institution to attend Home Court Elite Combine on May 21st in Prince George's County Community College in Longo, Maryland. The deadline, again, is March 31st. To register, call or text 240-351-1919. Again, text 240-354-1919 or email MarylandFuture@AOL.com. Again, it's MarylandFutureAOL.com. It's important that you let him know that you want to be added to the docket to receive the funds to send your men's basketball coach. Again, this is only for NAIA coaches. Hey, I said today I was going to pull out this book because, hey, you know, I definitely have some resources at my fingertips. And one of those resources is 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete. Welcome to the College Edition, a transition guide for high school athletes. And I said I was going to pull out the book today and hey, give you the first tip. First tip she has is why study while in class and in study hall. Now, is that not a great tip? Study while in class and in study hall. Because, you know, they're going to wait to do their homework. Only doing study hall. You know, but I think it's important to study while you're in class to see if you have an understanding so you can go ask a question. So you all know I'm an adjunct and have to. And I can talk to I'm blue in the face. They're going to still ask me the same question I just finished saying for the 55 minutes we've been in there. So, you know, this book is a great book to put in the hands of high school student athletes who are desiring to go to college and compete and also get an education. And so this is by Z. Butler. And to get your copy today, go to thehip.com/theballcode, thebalcode. Important to get these hands into our student athletes and, most importantly, their parents, because what's going to happen is that they're going to call their kids, me, and ask them how they're doing. The kid's going to say, oh, I'm doing great. And then they're going to get their first grading period and like, what happened? So the parent can say, did you read tip number someone's out? Yeah. I'm just so glad we had these great resources inside the garden. Speaking of resources, this time is also coming to a close. April 6th and 7th, April 6th and 7th is the 2022 Women in Athletic Development Symposium and Network Event. Now, I'm going to say network event again because that is really important. And I think Dr. James Hillier has done a great job of creating a virtual space that Sparks type of networking. She has invested in a platform that will actually put you in a room like you're sitting at a table kind of feel. And so, and it's got some heavy hitters, the speakers. And I just realized that I got class on the 7th. You know what? I may just join in from my class. Yes, so I can spark the next generation. But Dr. Renee Miles Payne, a veteran in the business, who I just found out that she started out in the student athlete development space. I know that she has business background, and now she's serving in the DEI role at the University of Miami. And so I hope that piques your interest, too, that, you know, honestly, we get concerned about being pigeonholed in service positions in athletics. But Dr. Renee Miles proves the only person who can pigeonhole you is you, because she has apparently moved around the different roles to land where she is. So I would say make sure you sign up so you can hear her background. And then I had this person also on the podcast before, assistant coach for the Portland Trail Blazers, Coach Eddie Curry. Yes, I had her. At the time, she was collegiate assistant men's basketball coach. And so she's moved on to professional ranks. And matter of fact, because of her interview on the podcast, I knew that was not going to be for long. But the one thing I can say about Dr. Hill, you did a great job of selecting her to come and speak because of the fact I know that's how she's able to get the best out of her athletes, by understanding her athletes. And she mentioned on our podcast, I don't forget what season it was, you can just type her name inside the Facebook group and you'll be able to pull up that podcast. And if it does not pull up, you can always go get it 200plus.expert. 200plus.expert is where all season 1 through 5 are found. But one thing she said, that she began as an assistant coach for men's teams on the professional level overseas. And she said because there was a language barrier, it made become more in tune to the players because they had to really concentrate on how to communicate. And I thought that was fabulous. That was great information. And so I loved it so much that I had her speak to my class. And so I highly recommend, if it's only just for these two speakers, why you should register for 2022 Women in Athletic Development Symposium Network event, April 6th and 7th. To register, go to HilliardSolutions.com/symposium. That's Hilliard, HILLIARD, solutions.com. Don't delay. The space is going to be limited, and it is around the corner, so you want to make sure that you have secured your spot. Hey, I just received my package of 25 books of Success Is My Major by Aisha Foy. Why do I have 25 copies of the book? I'm taking it with me on my speaking engagement next month for Sussex County Middle School. And I enjoyed the book so much, okay? And I'll be honest with you. You know, our young people, it's funny. I was just thinking about the word spoiled. You know, all my life, oh, she just spoiled. She just spoiled. And I would say I didn't spoil myself. However, what they really were saying is I may have acted spoiled. not that I was spoiled. And the new term for being spoiled is entitlement. Entitlement. And honestly, it really is like a fish in water. They don't know they're in water. They're just chucking along. But if they get plucked out that water and they can't breathe, that's when they know that it takes the water for them to be able to be successful. So that's how, and that's my analogy. It just came out of my brain like in 2 seconds. But in her book, it does say clearly it, from entitlement, it talks about the student athlete being entitled. And she's very transparent about that she was entitled. And another word for being entitled is being uncomfortable, because you just don't know what you don't know. And I think that our student athletes just don't know what they don't know. And, you know, it takes old school teachers like me to bring into attention. They're like, oh, she's just being hard. No, I'm just being real, because you can be hit upside the head. So might as well get shook up right now before that hit hits you so hard you can't get back up. So she actually talks about being a D1 player and just get hit upside the head continuously until she decided, let me work on me. Let me start pointing the finger why coach ain't doing this, coach don't like me, they ain't running the play like I, you know, all of that. She began to work on her. And when she began to work on her, she began to say, let me help others, and then let me be more of a, what's the word, not productive citizen, but one that encourages others because I worked on me. And let me tell you, you know, many of y'all know I work with Boo Williams. I'm the legendary grassroots grandfather. Celebrating 40 years of his organization. And he said to me, I walked in the office one day, he had the book on his desk. And I said, oh, that's my client. He said, oh, no, she's the truth. She's a go-getter. Now, a man who's been in the business for 40 years, has coached men and women for 40 years, he remembers this girl and her book. Come on now. So if you want to get the book in your hand, you need to go to successmajorbook.com, successmajorbook.com. If you all into professional development, and I don't know why spring always makes me feel like professional development is like in the air, this is the book you need to get on your bookshelf. And I'm not just saying it because she's a media partner. I'm saying it because it's the truth. And I'm looking forward to reading it again. And I must believe in it when I took my money to go buy 25 of them to go with me on my speaking engagement. Now, I hope that tells you the kind of endorsement I have for this book. But you just need to get the book in your hand. I mean, for real. It is the truth. I hope we are doing the Meet the Contributors tonight. Dr. Linda Bale is our guest for tonight at 6, but she just texted me and told me she's in a dentist chair. I'm like, oh, Lord. And I said, you going to be able to talk tonight? But she hadn't responded back. She didn't call me back. I said, don't call me back. I'm doing a podcast. Just text me. So we are planning to return to Meet the Contributors tonight on Facebook Live inside Chat in the Garden, meeting Dr. Linda Bale, who is in the third issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. Really proud. Honestly, I'm really proud of all three editions. All three can be found on Amazon. Just type Significance in Athletics and Sports. Or you can get the PDF version from payhip.com/seeds of empowerment. Seeds of Empowerment is one word. Seeds, S-E-E-D-S, of Empowerment. At payhip.com, the PDF version of all three magazines. And tonight we are with Dr. Linda Bell, who I've known since she's been 17. And you know, the ironic thing is that's how we met. She was a basketball player for St. Paul's College when she was a freshman. And she chipped her tooth at volleyball. And that's when the trainer wasn't available. And they asked me, the sports information director, could I drive her to the dentist? And I so ironic. So you're going to hear that again if she's available today. Teeth and Dr. Linda Bell and myself always brings us together. And so, I did that today. Because here's the funny thing. I was just trying to make sure I hadn't worn this top or another meet the contributors. So I typed in contributors inside the Facebook group so I could see all the video to make sure I hadn't duplicated my outfit. And I noticed I had done that once. So you can do the same thing but for a different reason to catch all the contributors of issue one, issue two, and we are in the midst of bringing all of the contributors from issue number three and Dr. Linda Bell, who is an assistant athletic director at Fort Valley, but she wrote about becoming regional ready. She has served on several NCAA committees of sports, and I have to get on the first one, but after that, she took a role. She is now on NCAA championships committee after, I would say, at least 20 years. About 20, yeah, about 20, because she was my student from 91 to 96. So, and she served on volleyball committee. First committee was softball, and then it was volleyball, and now she's on the championships committee. So I would say definitely come on if you have questions about how to host, how to get on a committee, and then how to get your team in postseason play. I mean, my Lord, you know, it's a strategic thing. It ain't just about wins and losses. It's like what type of wins and losses you have. And that's why it's really important to have representation on these committees. So if you're one of the ones that always complain about, you know, what happens after the season is over, have you put your name down? Can you nominate yourself? If you're Division I, you have to be recommended by the conference office. But did you tell them that you really want to serve? So, Facebook Live tonight at 6. It's time to take control of your health by getting more fruits and vegetables into your body. Bridge the gap between what you do eat and what you should eat. Jolene Robinson at Stepping to Win wants to coach you through this process. Now, Jolene Robinson is a championship caliber coach, and I watched her, and she's had some winners. But she's retired from coaching with the basketball and the whistle, but now she wants to coach you. So if you have a certain age, let's be sure, let's just be clear. If you have a certain age and you, what you used to do to get into that dress for the, get into your bathing suit, and doesn't work like it used to, you might want to check with Jolene, okay? Go ahead and text her at 980-298-2231. 980-298-2231. Or you can email her at jrobinson@stepping2win.com. Stepping2win.com. jrobinson@stepping2win.com. And as always, and I'm telling you, and it's interesting, I will be promoting this next month, but I am pleased to be able to serve on the NIL conference. It's going to take place May the 14th. But my interview for it was Friday, which will display during the conference, but I also will be in the conference live to take questions. And so May Image Enlightenment is here. And after having a full year of it, but the one of the things that helped me be prepared for a time such as this was the book called Surviving the Light, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith, which can be purchased on Amazon in three different formats, ebook, audio, and paperback. Again, the name of the book is Surviving the Light, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse. And our students now can compete on a college level and receive dollars. So they don't have to wait now to become professional. But the same premise of understanding that they're going to need help, and if they don't have help, they can mess themselves up. And the NCAA considers financial advisors as agents, and you can do that. You can do that now. You don't have to wait until your eligibility is up. So this book actually helps them select and know who they need to have and why they need to have it. There was a post the other day about Steve Harvey and his bout with the IRS because his bookkeeper, his accountant, stole from him. All right, and it was a lot of money. Now, we're not talking about a lot of money, but the whole point is that there will be some repercussions that you got to deal with, and there might be some arrangements you got to do, and that's why you need to have a tax preparer person. And that may not be Uncle So-and-so who does everybody's taxes at the end of the year. Yeah, you might need somebody. Actually, it's interesting, the young lady that is hosting this new Image Enlightenment, she works with nonprofits in how to do tax cost saving. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Another friend of mine said she wants to do insurance just for student athletes. So how do you select these people? Get this book, so then you become educated so you can help them, advise them. Surviving the Light, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. And the curse is financial ruin. Okay, that's just the point blank. So the time has come to bring our guest of the hour up. And this young lady has got lots of experience, and I can't wait to bring her to your ears. Dr. Ashley Hodges, Director of Athletics and Wellness at Notre Dame of Maryland University. Welcome to the garden, Dr. Hodges.
Thanks so much. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I am too, Dr. Hodges. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, enjoying some of the sunshine and nice weather that we're getting here in Maryland, even though it's cold.
Oh, my goodness, yes. It was like 30-some degrees here yesterday, and now it's 60. Okay? It's perfect.
Yeah.
So because I'm late, people have been rushing through their career. So I really want you to take your time and tell everyone about your journey from college to your current position. And how you got those positions.
Yeah, so I grew up in Ohio and went to college out in the state of Iowa and went there on a minority and academic scholarship called the George Washington Carver Scholarship, which afforded me the opportunity to pay for, it was a full tuition scholarship, so really was a blessing for my family, being that I'm a first-generation college student raised by a single parent. So went out there and initially thought I was going to go into be a doctor, a medical doctor, and be working with student athletes, and that's how I was going to live my life and furnish my career. After my first year, I had a really, really tough time and decided that athletic training was the next best thing for me. So spent my college career being a student athletic trainer, learning everything I could learn, and then was lucky enough to get a position at Drake University right down the road as a graduate assistant athletic trainer working with their football team. Spent 3 years there learning everything I could learn, really thinking, okay, this is great. I'm going to be a football athletic trainer at the Division I level, and this is going to be awesome. I'm so excited. And as I was applying for jobs, I made it to the finalist round to be an assistant athletic trainer working with another Division I football team. And what they told me was, well, you have great experience, but at this point, you don't have NFL experience, and so therefore we went with someone else. And at that point in time, not having NFL experience meant that I was a woman because there was only one other woman in the NFL at that point, and they weren't offering internships to women. And so went back to the drawing board and thought, what am I going to do? I have about 2 weeks to decide what my next position is going to be. I think I'm going to have to go back to school. And a position that I had set up working at a high school fell through at the last minute. And so I was searching through the NATA website, the athletic training website, and found this job in Vermont, a little small school on the border of Vermont, Massachusetts, and New York, and spoke with the athletic director there and instantly felt like I had a connection with her. And the way that she talked about the institution and what she was bringing to the table and what she was expecting from an athletic trainer, I was sold. Grew up in the Midwest, had never been on the East Coast before, and decided to pack my car as full as I could and drive from Iowa to Ohio and then Ohio to Vermont, and lived on campus for about 6 months while I was trying to figure out my life and figure out where I was going to live. And I spent 8 years in that position. And after my first year, my athletic director decided to move on. And what she said in the car on the way to our conference meeting was, Ashley, I'm going to make you the senior woman administrator before I leave because I think you can be a good administrator. You've got this. And I went to that first conference meeting feeling like a fish out of water and trying to meet as many people as I could in the conference. And one of the people that I met was Louise McCleary, who was the athletic director at Elms College at that time. And she looked at me and she said, Ashley, you can do this. You are going to be great at this. Call if you need anything. And so we moved on from there. And so from that point on, I really started to take on things on campus. I was a one-woman shop in charge of 10 sports. I didn't sleep a whole lot. I didn't really have a life outside of athletic training on that campus. But I was able to have my hands in everything. So planning banquets, learning more about compliance, coaching cross country. I'm a basketball player. I don't know anything about cross country. Basically, I told them run, and it's important that you finish. I later had the opportunity to coach basketball my last year because our coach had to step down so I became an assistant coach on the basketball with the basketball team. But anything that was possible for me to do that could fill my bucket of knowledge, I did that. And same thing, right? So I had that experience with Louise up front and then decided, you know, I'm going to jump 2 feet in. And so every program that the NCAA had that was free, I registered for it. And there were a lot of programs that were new that I'm sure I was the guinea pig of, but I was going to register for those so I could learn as much as I could. About 6 years into my time at Southern Vermont, which was a school in Vermont, I was diagnosed with a pretty significant heart condition. And up until that point, I had been thinking about going into administration and kind of leaving athletic training behind. I had started my doctorate because I knew I needed some more substance to my background. And I spent about 3 weeks in the hospital at that point And during those 3 weeks, I had a lot of time to just think about, was I getting what I wanted out of my life? Was I being of service to the people around me? And at that point, I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to really make a life change and focus, give myself some time, and then be able to have a broader impact on the student-athletes that I worked with every day. So not only, you know, making them better from injuries, but also impacting their lives in ways that that was unbeknownst to me. And so I had spent the last 2 years at Southern Vermont really learning, again, like I said, absorbing as much as I could. I took on some supervisory roles. I became the assistant AD, and then I decided to jump 2 feet in and become an administrator. So I left Southern Vermont, which felt like home, and left and went to another institution. And that stint was short-lived. And really it was because my leadership philosophy and the leadership philosophy of the athletic director did not align. And so I felt like it was a mutual decision that it was time for me to move on and look for a different position. And so that happened at the right time in my life where I was really struggling to get my my doctoral degree finished and was at the last stages, and that break in time, so it was about a 6-month break, allowed me to get myself together. It wasn't 6 months, it was about 3 months. So it allowed me to get myself together enough that I defended my dissertation successfully, finished it, and became Dr. Hodges, which is still very weird to say. So left that position, and because I had served on NCAA committees, I was on the Minorities, Opportunity and Interest Committee. I had someone who was working in the Philadelphia area who knew of someone looking for an assistant athletic director. And he said, you are gonna make a great team. I'm calling him right now. And in a restaurant in Indianapolis, he called who would be my next boss and said, Joe, I got this person. She's going to be great. You need to meet her and interview her. And so I went through the application process, applied, and took a while, but that's okay. And then I was hired to be the assistant athletic director and senior woman administrator at Rosemont College. And that position was the last position I had before I took this position at Notre Dame. And I had the opportunity to really be I was a partner with my athletic director. There wasn't a decision that I wasn't in the room for. He had my back on things and really pushed me to say, Ashley, you're ready to be an athletic director. And so we took some time and really made sure that I still was doing a lot of professional development. So he was still pushing me to do all of those things. And one of the ways he did that was allowing me or saying it was okay for me to be a member of the Pathways cohort. And that was the last professional development I did with the NCAA, and it was the best one. So I spent we were the virtual cohort, the COVID cohort, and we met virtually over the last year before the last year. So last year we met virtually through the year. I really was able to build some relationships, learn a lot, fill some gaps where I hadn't been able to fill those in other positions, and it really set me up to take this position. And so that's kind of the arc of my career.
And so how long have you been athletic director?
So I've been the athletic director here for 7 months.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. All right. Well, I do want to dial back. The one question, was Andre Roach in your class?
He was, yes.
He is my former intern when he was in undergrad.
Okay. Yeah, and Andre is great. And he's great. And really enjoyed being in the Pathway cohort with him. And we all still keep in touch. We have a group me that we all chat in. And so definitely love. Andre's a great person.
Yeah, and it was interesting because I'm going to mention that with you is I was assistant athletic director at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, And my boss was friends with somebody at UMass Amherst. And he just made a way for Andre just to become an intern in the office. He let him stay in the dorm and gave him a meal plan. And he became my boy Friday, if you know what I mean. You know, and it was like, yay, in compliance, you need another person, another eyes. And so, but it's interesting, and I only stayed at that location for 2 years. So he was there my second year. And when I left, I went to the conference office. And so, you know, almost everybody who's ever worked with me, or intern, they want to stay in contact because hopefully, you know, I can help them to their next. But Andre, for some reason, he just got sick of athletics or something. He went to go sell some cars. Child, that child was calling me. Miss Smith, get me out of here. I said, now you ready. Okay, so I will say that I assisted with his first two jobs in athletic administration. And but him being at Rome, though, he did that on his own. And he told me he was going to Pathways and what I recommend I think it, your role models, your athletic directors, and I recommended two guys in my circle who serve as athletic directors as his role models. So I feel like I still had my finger in it a little bit. And his first job was at St. Paul's College. His second was at St. Aug's, and then this one. And so actually he did tell me about opportunity he had from some of my students. So I say that to say because most people think I just mentor women, and I do mentor men. But the thing I want to double back with you, I think you heard me say something about being on intake committees and how important that is, and you said you had a committee member who made that call for you. How important? It seems like you do value professional development and service in the way of intake committees. Would you just speak to that for a moment?
Yeah, and so I started on the Minorities Interest and Opportunity Committee, and I didn't know, so that's an association-wide committee. And that was the first committee I'd ever been on, and I was kind of didn't know what that meant, but someone said, I know you're passionate about diversity and inclusion and empowering student-athletes to be them full selves, so apply for it. And at that time, someone in my conference was on nominating committee, which nominates people, and she said, okay, you're going to apply, I got you. And so, it goes back to having people who can talk about you when you're not in the room. And so I have built those relationships. And so that's how I got on Minorities Interest and Opportunity, or Opportunities and Interest Committee. And then MOIC is what we all call it. And then after I left that committee, I took a little bit of a break. And decided that I missed committee service, and so went back, and now I serve on nominating committee. So I'm the person who sees all of those people who come through who are looking to get on committees. And committee service is so important. I was listening to you say that people who aren't on committees always are like, well, I don't, this and this isn't going right in the NCAA, and this isn't, you know, there's this, I wish it could change. And the committee structure is the one way that you can make those changes happen. And so at the Division III level specifically, we are struggling to find candidates who fit onto committees because there's just not a big enough pool, or people don't apply because they don't understand what it means. But then when you put someone on a committee, people are like, oh, I can't believe you put that person's on another committee. And it's like, well, we would love to have you apply. So if you apply, then, you know, it'll be an opportunity for us to get you on a committee. And so service, I'm a big believer in serving the association and serving our student-athletes and serving our institution. And I think committee service is one of those ways that you can get your foot in the door, meet people, network, and have people that will be willing to make that call because they know what you've done on a committee, if that's what your heart desires.
Man, I've been standing on top of the rooftop, keep telling people you need to do that. And a couple of things. One of the things that I would do, I would get the list Because my first NCA committee was nominating committee, and it was when they federated. I think it was 1995, and federated meaning that each division was able to rule themselves. And so I was the first committee that set up other committees. So the nominating committee, we created the Women's Basketball Committee, all of that, Legislation Committee, all of that from the first time. Because before, we were all like the committee that you were on, all three divisions. So now is the option to give people more opportunities to serve. And here's the thing. When you're serving, you're actually learning. And when you're learning, you can come back to your conference office and say, look, this is what's going down, and this is how we must position ourselves in order to be able to get additional funding, get additional opportunities. And then you become the expert on your conference because you become with the knowledge, but you just don't keep it lock and key. You spread it so that you all can grow together. And that's the part that baffles me. You'd rather be the Monday morning quarterback than to get in the game, and it just drives me crazy. I'm just so busy. Okay, you're never too busy to grow, because when you stop growing, you're going to do what? Shrivel up and die. That's
exactly right.
And one other thing about making change. So, again, as a sports information director, I did not have football, so I concentrated on volleyball stats. And I did it manually at first, and then computers came into play. So I'm fast-forwarding going to postseason play with volleyball, and I see that they're not using computers. You know, like they're still doing one side doing stats, the other side doing stats, and put holes in and make a box. I said, there's no other sport that you can do that to. So I did it in the conference office. I said, if you don't turn in a whole box to me, you'll be fine per day, per game. Y'all thought I was crazy. I said, you will have to learn this sport like you learn anything else. So then when I get to the championships committee, I say, in order to host a volleyball regional, you must do computerized volleyball stats. So that's what I mean about being able to make change happen. So are there any kind of changes that you've been able to make that you can put your stamp on?
Yeah, so if I think back to my time at Southern Vermont, my department, so we'll go department level, and then I'll talk a little bit about some work on the MOIC. So department level, I was a shop of one with 10 sports, and so, as I said before, and so I talked to my CFO at the time and said, listen, this isn't sustainable. I'm not sharp. Our student-athletes aren't getting the best care that they could get. And so he said, well, how can we get this to a next person? And so what I did was I mapped out for him, okay, so this year we can hire an intern and we can pay them whatever the salary. But then I think in 2 years we need to really be looking to hire another full-time person, and this is what the salary will be. And so throughout that, so he trusted me enough to say, okay, great, this is, okay, let's do this. And so we went from a department of one to a department of two, but also having athletic training students who were able to come in and work with our student athletes. So it meant going from having four hands to maybe having eight hands in a semester so that students could learn and provide them an opportunity, and they weren't always just dependent on me or my assistant. So that's at the institutional level. And then when I think about some work I did on the MOIC, the really was on that committee when we started talking about the athletics inclusion and diversity designee. And so really worked through that first initial process of, okay, how do we get this to the membership to vote on? Where are our roadblocks going to be, and how can we really start the conversation and get this to a point where people will support this and then think about what the next steps are. So that was my time on MOIC, was really working on getting that information fleshed out so that we could get to where we are now and have that designation in place. So that's another way I was able to affect some change, both on the committee structure and then on my individual campus.
Outstanding. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to take really a short break here on the Chat in the Garden. And when we return, we'll find out more great strides.
Hi, this is Dr. Hilliard, President and CEO of Hilliard Solutions. If you're interested in entering or advancing in the growing field of athlete development, you don't want to miss the April 6 through 7 Women in Athlete Development Symposium and Networking event online. Go to HilliardSolutions.com/symposium to see our outstanding speaker lineup and for up-to-the-minute information and registration. Get your ticket today and bring a colleague.
NAIA administrators, welcome. The basketball group from Washington, D.C. is actively seeking your assistance and partnership with your men's and women's basketball coaches and staff to send high-flying, academically sound, and athletically dynamic athletes from the D.C. metro area. The basketball group is offering a $500 travel voucher for each one of your coaches to attend our combine being held on May 21st, 2022 in the Washington, D.C. area. This voucher will cover flights and hotels so each of you can participate in this event. Additionally, the Washington, D.C. TAG program will have officials on site to secure all required paperwork from parents, which offers another significant grant reduction for the student athletes and your universities. My name is Mel George, president of the basketball group, and I can be reached via email at marylandfuture@aol.com or via text at 240-354-1919. We have an absolute ton of top basketball players needing to connect with your colleges and universities. Deadline for this offer is March 31st, 2022. Please contact us immediately. Thank you from the basketball group.
Did you know that athletic identity is one of the top three struggles athletes experience, especially in terms of their talent? My name is Zijalyn Butler, and I am a former Division I, NJCAA, and NCAA women's basketball player. My book, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, is a great resource for parents, coaches, and supporters to equip their college athletes. Pick up your copy at www.payhip.com/theballcode. Together, we can beat athletic identity.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chattanooga Garden with Smith & Bloom in Athletics and Sports. Okay, here is a question for you, Dr. Hodges. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so Lisa Willis, a president of Mindful Development Hoops, she would like to know, how important is it for coaches and staff to help players, one, prepare for success after graduation, two, provide tools to handle emotional stress, and three, find purpose outside of their sport?
It's very important. And one of the things that I talk to our coaches about and other people that I interact with before I got to this position is really about developing them. One of my tenets is student-athlete development, and that means both on and off the court. And so one of the reasons why I'm in Division III is because I'm passionate about not only the student, or not only the athlete part of student-athlete, but also the student part. And so it's really important to me that our students are doing well in the classroom, because that's going to be what they do when they leave here. So whether that's at this institution, nursing is really big for our student-athletes. And so really pushing them to be to do well in the classroom, so that when they leave us and they're no longer a student athlete, they can be successful in their career. We all know mental health is a big issue right now on college campuses, and it's not unique to student athletes. But I think in many ways our student athletes feel it probably a little bit more, and feel like they can't reach out for resources. On college campuses, the counseling centers are being overwhelmed. And so really, it's a conversation with my athletic training background about, okay, how can we best help the student athletes where they are? What resources do we have on campus? How can we connect them? And then what does it look like? Are we giving them an opportunity to just step away from their sports, step away from college, and just be people? Mm-hmm. And I also had that conversation with my staff about taking days off, even when it feels like you can't and when it's impossible, because if their tanks are full, they can't get back to students. And so really telling them, okay, I'm not going to email you after 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and if I do, don't feel like you have to get back to me right away. It can wait till the morning. Or forcing them when they take paid time off to say, I'm going to send you an email. I know you're taking a day off. Don't answer the email. Turn off your phone. There's nothing here that is so important it can't wait till you get back in the office. So really demonstrating that behavior with our coaches, and then I think that then translates into demonstrating that behavior to our student athletes, that it's okay to step away, that they don't have to be available 24/7, and that they can take some time to really think about to be who they are outside of their athletic identity.
Well, I want to say that I used to say that the best athletic directors come from volleyball coaches, but I would have to change that, because when I did the Meet the Contributors last week, I had Dr. Denisha Hendricks. She was a former athletic trainer. Katasha Turner, athletic director for Selma Public Schools, from athletic trainer. Ava Amaker, which you just heard on a commercial, she was a former athletic trainer, outstanding athletic director in the state of Maryland, and now a consultant. And she looks at things from a risk standpoint, because she developed that eye from athletic training. How would you say that being an athletic trainer has impacted you as an athletic director?
Yeah, so I think it's impacted me in a couple of ways. One way is that student-athlete welfare is at the top of my list, because it was always my job to make sure that playing conditions were safe, that our student athletes were safe, and that they weren't getting injured. I also think athletic training prepared me to deal with different personalities because no two people that walked into the athletic training room were the same, and they mm-hmm. may be having a bad day. And so how do you find a way to navigate that bad day to make sure that you got what you needed out of them? I think it also allowed me to have empathy for people when they were in season and really forcing them to really take some time off, because I was able to see everything as a broad perspective, not just from the space that I was in. And then the last thing I'll say is that athletic training taught me how to have conversations with people, the tough conversations with people, and how to have those conversations in a non-threatening way and be able to approach conflict and things that just sometimes aren't fun to tell people in a way that disarms people enough so that they can hear what you're saying to them and to listen. So those are the things I think that have contributed to me being successful as an administrator and as an athletic director.
Well, I'll tell you that, the Hodges, this has been quite delightful. You make Division III sound very enticing and as a place to build leaders. And so as you mentioned McCleary, and she did move into the NCAA ranks, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So again, how that relationship that you built then, how did that help you later on in your career?
Yeah. So I think Louise is someone that if I picked up the phone right now and called, she would answer. Or if I send her an email, she answers. If I have a question about something, I know that I can call her. It's NCAA-related, and she's a little busy now because she's the interim vice president. But uh-huh. I still know that I have that line of communication with her. And I would say that she, that relationship has been instrumental in giving me the confidence to be able to move out of athletic training. Because mm-hmm. every time I saw her, she would say, Ashley, will you apply for any athletic director positions yet? And every mm-hmm. time I'd say, no, Louise, I'm not there yet. I'm not ready. So, okay, mm-hmm. I know you're ready. So when you're ready to take that step, I got your back. And so just having mm-hmm. that voice in my ear saying, like, hey, you can do this, is important. I'd also say that just having her as a resource to be like, okay, this is what's coming up. Let me know when you apply for it, those types of things. Just having someone that kind of helps navigate the system. And I know she didn't just do it for me. There were other women in our conference that she really was an advocate for, that she really mm-hmm. helped along the way, and that she would do the same thing. Hey, has so-and-so applied for an AD position yet? And you say, no, she didn't. Okay, tell her that she needs to call me so I could tell her which one to apply for. So just having that consistent support system is so crucial, and was so crucial in my career as well.
And that's why I wanted to circle back to that, because I always say building relationships is how you play this game of politics. So thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to talk with you, and yeah, it was so good to chat.
Absolutely. And thank you to Jonah Harrison of Refined Solutions for serving as an engineer, eyes and ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show updates and guest podcasts. Set it all backwards. For updates on show guests and podcast follow-ups, join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.